Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. I'm your host, Tom Majeure, with Jody Ferguson as guest co-host. Welcome, Jody.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Yes. Jody is a volunteer at Strong Tower Radio, and we're looking forward to doing an interview with her and talking about family life issues. And Jody, as we did the pre-program planning with our guest today, we'll be interviewing in a minute, it became quite a long and very deep subject. It's going to be a full program today.
Indeed, it will be.
Very good. Well, Jody, would you lead us off with a word of prayer?
Yes. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have given us today and given us life. And now, Lord, as we have these conversations together today, that you will lead and direct, and that may all these things be a blessing that you intend for us to receive, the listeners to receive, and that it may also be an encouragement to them. We thank you for these. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We're going to be talking about family issues today. And what we're talking about is what's important to you. This program, Strong Tower Radio Today, the interview programs, their whole purpose is for community service. And we're addressing issues that are felt today. American families have had a long history of economic issues and relationship issues for the last few decades, but more recently, new stresses and strains have come into the family of, again, economics, but even COVID, a new experience for this generation. But there are issues of isolation and feeling significant concerns have shown up with the counselors and such. So we have a lot to talk about, if not even the definition of the family itself has changed a bit. Today we have Amy Hubbard. She's the newly appointed director of the Family Life Ministries with the Michigan Conference of Seventh-day Adventists housed in Lansing, Michigan. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here with you.
Very good. Amy, would you be so kind as to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself? And you've been appointed to this position recently, but you have quite a bit of experiences in family life. You had a good-sized family, and then you had a family of your own. So tell our listeners a little bit about your walk as experience in family.
Well, you know, I had the privilege of growing up in a beautiful Christian home, and I like to joke that I'm the perfect middle child. I have two older brothers and a younger sister and a younger brother. And I grew up with a family that loved the Lord. It was a wonderful experience, and I'm very thankful for my parents who wanted to choose to live life in a way that gave our family a chance to work together and play together, but really work for the Lord. That was the heritage that I was given. I met my husband when I was in fourth grade, I believe. I think I was 9 and he was 10, and we went to school together. We married shortly after college. So we were married about 3 years before we had our oldest child, and we have 5 ourselves. And now our oldest is married, and he has twin granddaughters for us. So I am so thankful for that. Oh. And we have like several of our kids married now. Time goes by really fast, I'm telling you that.
Wow, that's wonderful. And so you had a very happy family growing up. And did you notice that others maybe had the same type of family or maybe not quite so happy an experience?
You know, it's interesting as a kid growing up, you see all different families, don't you? Some of our friends came from broken homes. Some of my friends had lost a parent. That was always very difficult and sad to watch, you know, as I watched my friend struggle with some of those things. I was blessed to have both of my parents love the Lord, so that was a blessing that I experienced that some of my friends didn't have. They had like one parent maybe who loved the Lord and then another parent who wanted to live life differently. So lots of different dynamics for families.
Jody, we talked about different parts of families and permutations of family. Would you share some of the categories of families that we came up in our pre-program planning?
So we talked a little bit about single parenting, and also both parents are working outside the homes, and I'm sorry, I don't have the list.
Okay. Well, we talked about, first of all, basis of the single unit, the single person, and we're going to be looking at that. We're going to be looking at married without children. We're going to talk about married with children and the sandwich generation, disabilities, children with disabilities, talk about grandparenting, those in a traditional sense, but also those who are raising children also. So there's a lot of subjects, a lot of categories to talk about here in this particular program. Amy, why don't you start with that single person? What are the issues that singles are facing today?
You know, I think one of the hardest things about being a single person is being content being a single person. Sometimes we look at those around us and we feel like maybe they think we're less of a person because we're not married, or that there's something wrong with us, that we haven't found anyone yet. But being single is a wonderful blessing, and we have an opportunity to be able to serve our communities in ways that are more difficult when you have a family. You have more time to dedicate, more resources to dedicate. But I feel like one of the things that is a huge blessing to all areas of family, whether you're single or married with children or grandparenting, is having that church community. We are all part of the family of God. We have brothers and sisters and children and grandparents. All of it is a ready-made family in the family of God. And I think that's one of the things that makes being single a wonderful opportunity, is that we have an opportunity to be a blessing and to be blessed by that church family.
So what I hear you saying, that single families, if it's done correctly, can be a blessing and helpful. It can be good for them and good for the community as a whole.
Absolutely. There's no strings attached as a single person. You know, you don't have to think about a family or a husband or a wife or those sort of things. So it gives you an opportunity to be able to experience things that take more time or more resources because you have it available to you still.
Now, that is the positive side, but in singleness, we talked about the choices and lack of commitment and long-term permanent relationships. People be single, but they're building relationships that are coupling.
You know, sometimes as a single person, we wish that we weren't single, right? You know, you were looking forward to starting a family. You'd really like to meet someone. You'd like to meet that right person. But sometimes our connections are not necessarily with somebody that we'd ever want to be married to, but we continue our relationship with that person because we don't have anyone else. So it starts out being friends, and then it can work into more than friends, even though it's not necessarily somebody that you would really want to or choose to be married to, because there's the issues there. They may be of a different belief or not be a believer in Christ. It may be someone who has addictions to something or isn't dependable or some of those things, but you overlook it because it's friendship, but it can become something more. And then you can find yourself beginning a family with this person, but yet it's not the person that you would wish that you had as a mother or father for your child.
That's very interesting to think about, that you're being friendly and it's mutually beneficial for everybody, but that's not your permanent person. But sometimes people, what I heard you say, make permanent choices with long-term results with a person that they probably wouldn't normally do under other circumstances.
Right. And that makes life so much more difficult, doesn't it? From that point forward, because that person is always the parent of your child. And so even if they choose to not be involved in that child's life, you still, at some point, that child wants to know who their parents are. And so it just creates a lifelong difficulty for yourself and for your child as they go through that. And how much better it is to wait patiently for the Lord to bring the right person into your life, you know, and to use that time as an opportunity to be able to serve more rather than to feel what you don't have at that time. And to take advantage of that church community where you have brothers and sisters in Christ that create that warmth and meet that need, because we all have a need for that sense of community. We all desire to be a part of a family.
So there's, I think we're talking about, we started out talking about a single never married, and but there's also a single and once married also.
Right, because sometimes we, in our relationships, they don't last. And it's not always our fault or our choice. Sometimes it is. Sometimes we've made poor choices that have resulted in a divorce, or we've made a choice that has created a family without the marriage commitment. So we're not divorced, but we find ourselves in a single parenting situation. And that can be a real issue facing people as well as the family. Now you're responsible for raising this child or these children. Or another scenario is that you lost your spouse to an illness or an accident, and now you're raising your children through no fault of your own by yourself. And that can be a really difficult situation that you find yourself facing.
Stepping back, talking about being single with the parent of your child, there's going to be a lifelong, unless the person doesn't stay in the child's life, you're going to be meeting them at school programs, at graduations, and when at sporting events, and will, if they choose to get married, and there's grandparents, and there's going to be multiple interactions throughout that child's life.
It's really true. It is so important that the people that we choose to closely associate with are people who we would want to be with. You know, if you have a close friendship with someone, but they really have some major issues, it may be better to have more of a distant relationship with someone. You know, it's not like you can't be friends, you can't ever do anything with that person, but do it in a group. Do it where you're with other people so that you don't find yourself in a situation that you later regret, because that is now a permanent choice that you've made once you have a child together. So it makes it much more difficult. Where if before that ever happens, you have created those boundaries for yourself, it makes life so much sweeter in the long run.
Jody, would you lead the questioning on the different types of marriage situations with and without children?
Sure. So, you know, there's certain aspects of community and families, and you have the married couples, and you also have those that are married that don't have children. And both of those families have similar and yet different types of needs.
Absolutely. So your families without children, sometimes that's in the early stages of marriage, right? But there are also families that cannot have children for various different reasons. And like you're saying, both of those have some things in common. They both have the commitment to one another. They have the opportunity to do things together. They still need to carve out time for one another. There can still be issues in marriage in general, just trying to understand each other. You're taking two people from very different backgrounds, right? And you're creating a home out of those together. And so that all by itself can be difficult. But sometimes when you have children as well, then it adds another element of dividing time again and how to prioritize and how to be on the same page with raising those children and what that looks like to you. So it can be another dynamic altogether when you have children.
Absolutely. Now, what about if you have parents that need, you're married, you have children, and then the parents have issues? That's been called the sandwich generation. What can you share about that?
You know, caregiving is another whole, what would you say, stage in life. You know, if we're privileged enough to have our parents live to an older age, right, and we have them for longer, then there is going to come a point in which your parents need care as well. And a lot of us feel that obligation to take care of our parents, and we want to do what's best for them. And so it puts another burden on that family priority that I just kind of alluded to before. You know, you have each other, and if you have yourself and your spouse, and you need to have that time together, then you have children, and you need to make sure you have time for them as well. But now you have another demand on your time with needing to care for aging parents, and that can make you feel like you're stretched thin. Besides, you're still working in order to provide for your family. So it can feel like there's just not enough hours in the day. And I think that's a lot of issues that we face, is that how do we manage our time in a way that we can prioritize things in a way that the most important things get some of that time, but without making us feel like we're not able to keep up with the things that we need to get done as well.
Well, Amy, you've used the word time several times, and it's been in different configurations of the family. We're going to be talking a lot more about time, but we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back after this message.
When you're taking a trip, it's important to stay on the right road and to follow the GPS or roadmap to be sure that you get to your destination. Likewise, on your trip to heaven, it is vital to follow the roadmap, the Bible, God's positioning system. To do that, stay with Strong Tower Radio as we uplift the Bible and proclaim God's character. If you'd like to help with this mission, go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button, or call 231-468-2087. We thank you, and may God bless you as we proclaim God's character together.
Hello, folks. We're back with Amy Hubbard, Tom Majeure, and Jody Ferguson joining me as guest co-hosts. We're talking about family and family issues. We started out talking about single. And single, never married, single and married, and then married without children, married with children. We were working through that. We got to the sandwich generation, the sandwich situation, and we talked about time, which was going to affect it. And the next category we talk about is family with disabled children. Now, that is serious time and serious commitment. Depending on the severity of the disability. Amy, could you fill it out and open up our aperture of what you were talking about, families with disabilities? What did that entail? Psychological, physical, mental?
You know, we all want to have, like, we have this idea of what the perfect family is and what it would be like. And we don't live in a perfect world, and so we have to deal with challenges that face us, and it's hard as parents to watch your children struggle. So we have to come to grips with that it's okay. It's okay that our children are different, and that can be hard to reconcile yourself to, but we can't change it, and to recognize that there's a gift in everything. You know, I love Romans chapter 8 anyway, but I know that so many know the verse Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. And we can trust that while here and now it may be challenging, we know that God is going to make all things right in the end, but it's not a mistake. Those children aren't a mistake. We're not a mistake. If we're the ones struggling with a disability due to an injury or whatever, or something that we were born with, but that God has a plan for each life. And I think to me, that is one of the things that helps make the challenges in life sweeter, to know that God has a plan. This is for good, that he is thinking of everyone. And so we can trust that it's going to work out. So when we're facing those challenges, a lot of it's time constraints, right? You have doctor's visits or rehab visits or speech therapists or whatever, you know, your OT and PT and some of these appointments, it all takes time. It may be more doctor's visits. And so it can feel like a financial strain as well. But we know that God is going to be with us to see us through. And as we face these issues, if we can face them with faith and courage rather than feeling like it's discouraging or overwhelming, but to know that this did not take God by surprise and he's going to work with us, it gives hope in these more challenging situations that we face.
I really appreciate that, such a positive perspective on that, on disabilities. You know, through the years, I've watched friends and their situation with children with disabilities. Early in our married life, there was a family, a young man that didn't have his forearms. And you think about that, even in our family, my father had cleft palate and the experiences that he had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the physical, but also learning. We have friends whose child is an adult and 30 years old and can't read. And, you know, the hopes, aspirations, the efforts that have been taken to help that child to be the best that he can be is quite challenging. And then there's the mental issues also, each one of those. And our hats off to those parents who rise to the occasion with God's help. We had a program with mothers that had children with disabilities, and it was very insightful. And I think we were all impressed in what we learned from that situation. Let's talk about grandparenting. There's definitely stereotypes of what grandparenting is. So why don't you start with the stereotype, and then we'll talk to what is the reality of grandparenting.
Well, we like the picture of the little rosy-cheeked grandma and the grandpa who live on the farm, right? And the kids get to go and visit and pick apples and ride the tractor. And that's kind of like our perfect picture of grandparenting, but a lot of us don't live on a farm. I know we don't live on a farm, and that's not going to be the picture that our kids have of grandparenting. But it is a privilege to be able to have grandchildren in your life, and I know that my husband and I are thrilled with the twins that we have to be grandma and grandpa too. But sometimes we also run into another scenario, and that is where we end up raising our grandchildren, because the parents are unable to. And so instead of it being grandchildren, we end up being parents again at a much older age than what we anticipated. And so that can create an issue as well. Or we have the heartache of watching our children raise our grandchildren in a way that we know is not healthy. And that can create an issue as well. And it can be heartbreaking to watch. And your hands feel kind of tied because you can only do so much to help in that situation, because your children are still technically raising those grandchildren, but it's painful to see some of the heartache that those grandchildren are facing because of the ways that their parents are parenting them.
Yes, we're experiencing grandparenting at this time and enjoying it very much. I always thought grandparenting would just be another generation of parenting, but as I've talked to many grandparents, they thoroughly enjoy the experience. And some said they would have skipped parenting to go directly to grandparenting along the way.
Grandchildren are so fun, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, you get all the joys of having their fun, loving little spirits without the obligation and the worry of the daily raising of them. It's just such a blessing. But that is not the case for all grandparents. You know, sometimes grandparents end up facing the parenting challenges because they're raising them as well. So,
and then grandparents can also be assisting the children and the grandchildren, either living in the house, which you alluded to, and that's a whole scenario in itself. But also sometimes it's being of a assistance, and that can be quite engaging at times. There's that time word again.
Exactly. And I think we're going to just keep hearing that come up as we go through, because one of the biggest issues that we have with any relationships is time.
That's almost one of the key elements of a relationship is time. Let's talk about some of the issues. We've kind of done the perusal of the field of relationships, of family, single with children, and married with and without children, grandparenting, with and without children, grandchildren.
There is an additional one that is very important, is the widow or widower.
Thank you so much.
And that they find themselves in a very tough, challenged part of their life. Often they've had their spouse with them for decades, and that's most of their lives they've been together, and suddenly they have this great loss.
You know, it's heartbreaking, isn't it? And it's something that you don't really adjust to. I've watched, you know, grandparents of mine who've lost a spouse, and then my husband's also, his grandpa is living by himself, and grandma's no longer with us. And it's a loss that is, it's not like, oh, well, you know, we're over it, it's been a few years. You know, you've been with that person for a long time, and the loneliness that it can create. I think that one of the things that is a blessing is that often there are children and grandchildren around, so it creates that sense of family still. But there are some that never had children. And so when they lose a spouse, that feels even more lonely. So I know I keep coming back to this, but your church community is such an important part, because we all need that sense of belonging. And if we don't have children that live nearby or grandchildren that live nearby, and we've lost our spouse, which it can be lonely even as a couple, right? If you don't have that sense of community surrounding you. But when you feel all alone, that can be very overwhelming. And that's where church comes into place so importantly well. And I think it's important for those of us, as we attend church, look around and see, is there anyone who maybe needs an invite over for supper, who would enjoy a walk with the kids? You know, like, incorporate these people into your plans too, so that way it creates that sense of a community. And if we all work together, you know, if I'm a widow and I have the opportunity to maybe invite a family over for supper, or to bring a dish over somewhere, you know, to make supper for someone, to have them over to my place for a walk or to organize a hike, I'm going to have more of a sense of community. And I may need to be the one to reach out as well, instead of just waiting for others to reach out to me. But that sense of community is very important, and that's what helps us to be able to recognize that we have a purpose and a plan still, that God has not forgotten us.
I really appreciate that thought, because it kind of goes both ways. The church community itself reaching out, being observant and caring and taking the time, but also as a hurting person, one of the best ways to help myself is also to reach out, so that I can be encouraging in the community and be a blessing to others. And in turn, also, I receive a great blessing in doing that.
Absolutely. It's just a beautiful circle, isn't it?
It is.
One of serving and of looking for ways to be a blessing. It definitely creates joy.
Amy, you mentioned about inviting widows and widowers home. And on certain occasions, we have done that. And we had a great time. We had a great time, and they did too. And so,
absolutely.
And so, I think we need to be intentional about that. We need to plan on do that. There are certain single people that we invite over often to our house and include them in our activities, literally in our activities that we do. And it's a positive thing.
I think it's also being willing to. We have a tendency to gravitate towards certain individuals in certain situations. That's just a personal preference that we have. But being willing to step out of that personal preference and say, hey, you know, when was the last time that I invited this person over, or invited them to go for a hike or a walk? Or how about going to that single mom's house, or that working parent, going to their house and spending the time with them, with the children, stepping out of my own box a little bit, thinking about what might be a blessing to someone else.
Absolutely. And I think that's where happiness is at, right? I mean, that's where, you know, when we look at scripture and we see the principles that are there, you know, it's all about serving others and looking for ways to be a blessing. And that's where joy is found. And I think so many times we get caught up in the issues that we're facing or the challenges that are in our life, and we get focused inward on our problem and how to solve our problem rather than looking outward and how can we be a blessing and know and trust that God is going to work out the particulars of our problems and help us to solve those as we look out to be a blessing to others. We can be His hands and His feet, and it's just a huge privilege.
Jody, maybe, I don't know if this is what you were talking about specifically, but you said gravitating, and that thought came to mind. We were young, married, without children, and everybody else was socially with somebody else, and we were feeling a little bit lonely. And all of a sudden, it occurred to us, there was a senior apartment that was near us, and we gravitated to them. And the last 6 months we were in that community, we had some of the most wonderful time with the senior, mainly, I think it was almost exclusively widows there, but it was a happy time as I reflect on that. This intergenerational, we tend to gravitate, well, if you have kids, you tend to invite people who have kids, the kids and their parents, and you do that, but add that senior person to give you that more depth, maybe that widow or widower or that other couple. Another category that we didn't put to our list, but married with a spouse that is physically or mentally disabled and could be in the later years of life. We're seeing longer life and dementia and Alzheimer's. What an experience, and our hats have to go off to those faithful spouses that are taking care of those who have physical and mental disabilities. What can you say to that?
You know, that's especially a loss, isn't it? Because while they're still there in like their physical body, the person that you knew and loved is not the same person anymore. And so there's a grief that comes with that too, but then there's the burden of caretaking for that person because they are still the one that you said I do to. And so, and you don't want them to go somewhere else, you know? So there's this experience of where you miss them and yet you're still caring for them. And it's kind of a bittersweet experience, but just like we had talked about before, where to try to keep that perspective of God knows this, He has a plan for this, He's going to give us the strength and the courage and the wisdom and all of those things. But I know I keep going back to this, but it's so important. That sense of your church community is another way that helps sustain you through that issue in life when you face those issues, because you have others that care, that can call and you can pray with, or that you can have an adult conversation with and enjoy a laugh or something, even if it's just over the phone. Or you can have someone who comes in and relieves you and takes a turn to watch, you know, your spouse as you get a chance to go for a walk, or you can go to town and get some things done. I know there's also adult care centers where you can, you know, drop off a loved one, or if you're caring for your aged parents, it's kind of the same thing where you have an opportunity to be able to leave them and be able to do some things as well, so that you have that time for break and for a spiritual renewal. I just feel it's really important. And sometimes when you're caretaking for someone, you don't get an opportunity to go to church. So it's nice when church comes to you.
Well, folks, you're listening to Strong Tower Radio today, and we're talking about family issues with Amy Hubbard. She's the new Family Life Ministries leader for the Mission Conference of Seventh-day Adventists in Lansing, Michigan. And we'll be back after this break to talk about family issues. Stay tuned.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back with Strong Tower Radio today. We're talking about family issues that are facing families today. And Jody, would you lead the discussion on issues that families with children have?
Often that both family members are working and they're working all day, but then at the end of the day, they still have all this extracurricular activity that they're doing. We don't have the chores that we normally have had, whether it's chopping wood, mowing yards and stuff, but yet we become fragmented because we're just doing and doing. Not that they're bad things. We're just so busy and it takes up so much time and we're not doing it together anymore. We're doing it more separate, which presents its own unique challenges because we're doing, I might be with mom, but she just dropped me off at a ball game, or I might be with dad, but I'm being taken somewhere else. And so we're still functioning, but we're very fragmented.
Well, I just think it's interesting with families today because we used to live on the farm, most of us. And so you had the things that you were doing together. Like you needed each other in order to survive. I remember my dad had this saying as a kid growing up, no worky, no eaty. That was what he said, which was actually a quote from scripture. It talks about he who doesn't work doesn't eat. And anyway, we have to work together, right, in order to make this happen. And I grew up that way. My father had his home business, a business at home. He did auto body. And so we were a part of that. I remember cleaning the shop and helping organize things and making supper because mom was gone running parts or different things. So we were all a necessary part. We chopped wood. We had to help do the yard work or do the garden. And today, a lot of families don't have those things. So we don't want our kids to come home and just watch TV. So we have the games that they play or sports or whatever, it might be music or gymnastics, because we want our children to have opportunities to do things that are productive. But what happens is like you were saying, Jody, everything's fragmented. So the kids are going here, mom's going there, dad's going there, and we don't have the things where we work together as a group. And we don't have that cohesive bond of needing one another in order to complete what's necessary for our good and our survival. And so we have to come up with other ways that we can work together. And one of those awesome opportunities, we can serve in our communities. We can help at a homeless shelter. We can help do a diaper drive for the local pregnancy center. We can help with the Council on Aging, where we maybe do Meals on Wheels, or we help deliver supper to needy families, or things like that. Opportunities that we have to be a blessing. Maybe it'd be reading together at a library and offering services that way, or helping tutor someone. But as a family, we're going to work together and we're going to attend this part to make a difference in our community.
I think the key element that you mentioned there is time. Time together as a family, taking the time that would be considered free time and making it a service or a blessing to others in the community. Being intentional with our time as a family.
It's true. And, you know, even back to like the scenario, Jody, that we had talked about, let's say I'm a married couple and we haven't been able to have children. What do I do to create that time together? Because we can become fragmented that way as well, where, you know, as a spouse, like my husband's always doing this, I'm doing this, and we just don't have much time together. We're always working, we're doing our own things. But that time together serving is a bonding experience where we were able to make a difference in the lives of other people together. And that is such a rich blessing.
Yes, it's a very rich blessing. And indeed, my husband and I approach that in the same way. But it also, as you come together as a family or as a couple, you have something that you've experienced together, a blessing and service together that you can talk about, which also encourages your own heart to continue to be a blessing to the extended community.
It's so true. And so many times, so humorous things happen, right? And then you'll come back together and be like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe that, you know, whatever happened. And you're like laughing together, or you're laughing over your own mistakes, or, you know, I just dropped the whole pan of whatever, you know, what a mess. And, you know, it's like, so you have that camaraderie that happens when you serve together too. And I just know as a family, you know, I mentioned that we have 5 children, and we as a family have done a lot of service opportunities, and there have been many suppers where we afterwards, the kids were laughing and being like, I can't believe you did that, or whatever, you know, somebody who tripped or some disaster happened inadvertently to somebody, you know. And these are things that teach you how to handle difficulty and adversity, but you're in it together. And so together we can make this happen.
You know, I've met 1 or 2 families that stood out and I thought were benchmarks for myself and others, that when they were asked to do something, they said, can we do this together as a family? I wish I would have thought about that earlier, as that was a criteria. Is this a family activity? Can my kids be involved in this? I think that's a great
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. And I think so many times, if we've just put a little bit more effort into how can we do this together, it makes a huge difference. And it brings joy. And I think that's part of it. You want to have that sense of community. You want to have that togetherness. But it brings joy to know that you've made a difference in the life of somebody else. There's nothing better than that.
You know, one of the things that my wife and I do is we make marriage retreats, and you're going to talk about that in a little bit, I'm sure. But we made a commitment that we would go to marriage retreats 2x a year. And that is because we made that as sacred time that nobody could change. We were always people asking us to do this or that. And we look on the calendar and said, well, that's a marriage retreat weekend. So that's off limits. It's not because we're dysfunctional. It's because maybe we are functional and we made that choice. One of the other things that we did, I think that's been very healthy, is we did spend a lot of time going down to see family. Our parents were in Ohio and they lived in Mississippi. And that long, long drive was time together. And even though it was a long ride, it was family time.
Family time is so special. I was just going to tag back to what you had said about the marriage retreats. The beautiful thing is that you're intentional, right? You have time set aside together that is not negotiable. This is something that we're going to do for each other, and it puts value on something. When I see my spouse set aside time that is mine, and nothing else comes in between that, no matter what meetings come up or what important event is, this is something that we are doing. It says to me, I'm valuable and I'm important. And I can say that back to my spouse too, by setting aside that time. I think today we have so many things that we're not intentional. And we did the comparison of like a camping trip. Like, you know, you go planning to go camping, but it's like, you don't prepare for bad weather. So you don't have raincoats, you don't have an umbrella, you don't have mud boots, you don't have anything, a tarp to keep you dry. How fun of a trip is it going to be if it rains, right? Well, we do the same thing in life with our marriages. We don't put the time, like you were saying, of being intentional and setting aside these things that are going to build up our marriage and create that connected relationship and taking time for each other. And so then when the rain comes, it's like going camping without a tent, without a tarp, and without a coat and rain boots, you know? And so it makes a miserable wet experience because you haven't invested what is necessary in order to make it fun, even in the rain.
Well, we've started talking about that last section that we want to, is ending on a positive note of solutions. We've talked about being intentional as couples to spend time together and intentional as family. You know, there's things like family reunions, and our family, every Labor Day is, you don't mess with Labor Day. That's family camping time. What other solutions might you suggest for families today, Amy?
You know, there's simple things like making sure that you eat one meal together, right? You can at least one. We try to do two. We try to do breakfast and supper together. There's simple things in a daily life, right? Planning events that you can serve together at. Having at least one night a week that you're going to do something to serve the community, or you're going to do an outreach event where it makes a difference in the lives of somebody. You can be visiting, like you were saying, you have the assisted living places or a nursing home, or you have so many ways that you can be a blessing in your community. Attending your local church, like attending prayer meeting together. I used to love when all of our kids were home and we would go to prayer meeting every Wednesday night, and they would pick out the hymns and they would sing with all their heart. And then I'm not kidding you, Tom, they would all be falling asleep by the time prayer meeting was over. One by one, they were like little dominoes, Jody, laid out on the pew before prayer meeting was over. But, you know, they would wake back up when it was done and away we'd go. But it was just such a blessing to be there together as a family. And of course, as they got older, they didn't fall asleep anymore. But when they were little, they would. And there's also opportunities that you have, like Tom had mentioned, marriage retreats. And our website, which is MISDAFamily.org, MISDAFamily.org, there's 4 different marriage retreats that are annually available. There's a Hispanic one just for our Spanish communities so that they can have a marriage retreat in their first language, which if I were somewhere, I would want to hear it in my first language too. And then there's one also in the spring as well up at Camp Asable. There's one if you like the resort setting. There's one at Crystal Mountain in the fall. And then there's even one up in the beautiful Upper Peninsula of Michigan at Camp Segola. So those are all wonderful opportunities that you have to be able to enrich your marriage and spend time together and be intentional, like what, you know, Tom was saying. We also have a family retreat that's available just for families, family first. You can bring grandparents, you can bring aunts and uncles. It's a time to come together as a family or extended family where you get to reconnect together. There's activities that are all about family. You're not separated, you're not segregated, you get to do them together. And have an inspirational speaker that encourages you to take time for family. It's a wonderful event that's held every fall. So lots of opportunities to be able to enrich your time together, spend that time together, and be connected.
So let's review some of those again. Family First, we were actually a part of the organizing committee, my wife and I, for a number of years. And what it was interesting to go to a camp and you did everything together. It was almost unusual because many times when we're at some of these camps, we all go our different way, but that's just a different way of thinking, but a wonderful way to do it.
It is special, isn't it, when we get to do everything together as a family. And I just know as a parent, I always loved having new ideas of ways to make family special, and that you walk away with a lot of good ideas for ways to be closer together as a family and how to serve more effectively as a family together from attending the Family First Retreat. So that is a wonderful opportunity.
Would you mind sharing some about these opportunities that you mentioned? You mentioned some of these camps, but we didn't mention where the locations of these camps were, or you did talk about the time of year in broad terms, but any more specifics?
You know, one of the best ways to find information out and to find the exact dates would be to go to the website, MISDAFamily.org, which is MISDAFamily.org. And that gives you the calendar of events for the year so that you can plan ahead and have those dates intentionally set aside, right? So that you can be there. You can also email me if you want to get more information about something. That is family@MISDA.org is the email for that. FAMILY@MISDA.org. Or if you want to call, you can call the office at 517-316-1575. That's 517-316-1575. So those are all ways if you want to get specific information, that's a good way to reach us. But if you're just looking for ideas and time of year, we have things throughout the whole entire year. Another wonderful opportunity is camp meeting. That is in June. I'm trying to think, does that start June 9, I believe?
That is correct.
June 9 through 18. Yeah. And there are family seminars. You can get a seminar on so many wonderful topics, but one of the things that is super special is that there is programming like Vacation Bible School, awesome activities for each age group of kids at camp meeting as well. So that's a wonderful opportunity. And that's in Cedar Lake, Michigan, at Great Lakes Adventist Academy Campground. What a wonderful thing. A whole week for families to spend together, spiritual enrichment, fun times, games to play, amazing activities, and you make wonderful friends there too. What incredible connections you can make at camp meeting.
And I might add two other activities that can be done as a family that's not in your department. It was Eager Beavers and Adventurers, that is family-centric for the younger children, that the parents actually are part of the activity with the younger children.
It's amazing, isn't it? And then if you have older children, there's the Pathfinder Club, which is so fun as well for the older kids to learn outdoor skills and learn about nature and scripture memorization. And just so many wonderful things are promoted in the Pathfinder Club as well. So many opportunities to serve and to be a part of things that make an incredible difference in our lives as a family.
Well, folks, another Strong Tower Radio Today program is almost over. We've talked about family issues. We've talked about problems, and we have to talk about those, but we've also talked about solutions. And we've had Amy Hubbard. She's the director of Family Life Ministries for the Michigan Conference of Seventh-day Adventists in Lansing. Amy, thank you so much for enlightening us and giving us solutions to our problems.
It was fun to be with you all. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And I thank you, Jody. I appreciate your helping out on this particular program.
It's good to be here.
And it's been great to have all you listeners. We hear your feedback from time to time. Feel free to call us here at Strong Tower Radio or email us and myself, Tom, at strongtowerradio.org and give us some feedback. And until next time, God bless you. Bye now.
To experience are true. They will change your life if you let them. For they come from the very heart of God. He loves you, and He is the Father you have been looking for all your life. This is His love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb. and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad. Almighty God.
For more information about the Father's Love Letter, go to fatherslovelletter.com. That's fatherslovelletter.com.